Go ahead and open up to James chapter 3, and we can go ahead and turn off the music back there. James chapter 3, and we're going to pick up tonight in verse number 13. Would you stand with me out of respect to the reading of God's Word? And we're going to look at some practices of wisdom, part number 2, out of James 3, and mostly verse number 17 tonight. An important thing for us to understand, because as someone once said, life is hard, but it's harder when you're stupid. So we need God's wisdom, amen? Amen. James 3, beginning in verse number 13, the Bible says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Would you join me tonight in a word of prayer? Father, we love you. We thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Thank you now for the opportunity to be around your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to give ourselves to both hear and heed what you would have for us tonight. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this is the third time we've looked at this concept of wisdom, of needing God's and godly wisdom for our lives. It helps for us to understand what we're talking about. So a quick review tonight. Wisdom defined. You can define it this way. It is the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Not quite there. So it is the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. We could simply put it, it is being skilled at living. Skilled at living. And we broke wisdom up into three basic components. If we're going to have wisdom in this life, it's going to come in three basic aspects or components. Number one, it's going to require that we have the right info. If you want one word for that, we'll call it data. Wisdom is more than knowledge, but it requires some knowledge. The right info. We could also say this, it requires the right insight or discernment. And this is that reality that knowledge is important, but wisdom is more than knowledge. Wisdom is knowledge applied. It is that discernment to understand the nuances of situations, the differences of circumstances of people that we deal with, and being able to take that right information or that right data and with discernment apply it to this particular case. And so it takes the right info, it takes the right insight, and it also takes resolved intent or determination. Because having the right knowledge and having the right insight doesn't do you lick of good if you don't have the backbone to follow through. And we used examples like warfare. You know, a general needs to understand the right data, the lay of the land, how many troops he has, what kind of troops they have, who's moving, who, what, where, when, why, and how. He also needs some right insight in how to apply all of this. But none of this does him any good if he doesn't have the follow through to say charge at the right point. We also gave a more practical illustration, because I don't know too many of us who are going to be leading troops into battle. We talked about parenting. Oh, it requires the right information. Oh, it requires some real insight, but it also requires some real determination. It's how many of us understand consistent follow-through, knowing what we should do and always doing what we should do as parents, or sometimes different things. Let me give you another one, witnessing. Witnessing, sharing our faith. Well, it requires some actual information. It requires us to know the right data. It also requires us to have some real insight as we seek to navigate, to be able to explain and put and give the truth to those who need to hear. But how many of us understand when it comes to witnessing, the devil will give you a dozen excuses as to why you don't need to this time? And so it takes some resolved intent, some real determination. So basically, what we've found is that in every aspect of our lives, from our health to our finances to our parenting to our walk with God to our ministry to others, we need to be wise, spirit-filled Christians. We need godly wisdom in every area of our life. And in the last time we talked about this, we talked about the reality that wisdom, not all wisdom is created equal. There is a carnal wisdom and there is a godly wisdom. And that just because you get the results you desired doesn't mean that you have the wisdom that you need. Because the works of the flesh will always bring death. And the carnal is always at enmity with the spirit. We summed it up by saying you can't do the right thing the wrong way. Or that godly wisdom, before it is concerned with results, is concerned with what's right. And that's why the Bible says that wisdom that is from above is first pure. Tonight I'm going to look at the next three things. So it says it is first pure, and then it says in verse number 17 that it is then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. You with me tonight? Yeah. Amen. So number one, let's look at this. Godly wisdom is peaceable. Godly wisdom is peaceable. So I'm going to give you with each of these kind of a one-word type thing that'll help you kind of maybe nail down exactly what it is. So peaceable, we will say, means to be peace-loving or peace-bringing. We bring peace with us. This is a spirit or an attitude that is spoken often as a trait of Christians. You'll remember what Jesus said way back in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 9. Blessed are the, what is it, church? Peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Hebrews 12 and verse number 14 puts it this way. Follow, pursue peace with all men. And so as we look into the scripture, this idea of being peaceable, being peaceful, being peace-bringing in our lives is a trait that is often associated with those who are followers of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the exact opposite of a human tornado that brings drama and chaos wherever they go. Now, I'd like to give you a little bit of advice tonight based on the Word of God. If your life is filled with drama everywhere, okay, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. But your life is full of drama at home, and your life is full of drama at work, and your life is full of drama at church, and your life is full of drama at the store, and your life is full of drama everywhere. Let me give you some advice. Take a step back and find the common denominator. Now you see why I didn't ask for a raise of hands. Because it just might be you. Peaceable, the opposite of a human tornado, the opposite of drama and chaos. The world doesn't have to know and deal with how you feel all the time. The world doesn't have to know how you feel all the time. Let me give you an example. Anybody ever seen what they call a rant on social media? Let me ask you, what did that accomplish? What did that accomplish? I'll tell you what it accomplished. It simply spread a little chaos. It simply spread a little drama. It simply wasn't peaceable. You know, it's hard to be peaceful when you're not peace-filled. I want us to think about that. It's hard to be peaceful, peaceable, peace-bringing when you're not peace-filled. You go back up to verses 14 and 15. It tells us again about what this carnal wisdom is like. If ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, the wisdom that's marked in verse number 14 by bitter envying and strife in your heart, is not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Because it is impossible to have godly wisdom, and it's impossible for us to be peaceable, to bring peace with us, when we ourselves are not peace-filled. We harbor bitterness and envy and covetousness. We harbor hurts and selfishness and worry. And the issues that we harbor within create issues without. Now here's a thought. The gospel message is already offensive and divisive enough without you and I putting our flesh in the way too. The church and Christians should not be known as creators of unnecessary chaos and drama. The church and Christians should not have the testimony of being creators of unnecessary chaos and drama. And I want you to see the emphasis on being peaceable is often minimized or not talked about today, but the standard that the Bible sets for us is a high one. I want you to look at Romans 12 and verse number 18. I want you to see what the apostle says. He says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's a fairly high standard, church. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I recognize this is not always possible. But you and I are called to remember, and godly wisdom implores us to the attitude, to the air, to the spirit, that because the reconciliation and healing work of Christ has been received in our life, we now are enabled to be agents of healing and reconciliation in the world around us. Wisdom from above is first pure, and then peaceable. It is peace-bringing. You with me tonight? Amen. The more I study this, the more I learn, I need wisdom. So godly wisdom, we see it is peaceable, and it's gentle. I put it this way because I wanted to alliterate. Godly wisdom is not just peaceable. Godly wisdom, number two, is proper. That word gentle is a beautiful word. Tremendous depth to it. Gentle has the idea of moderate, has the idea of measured, has the idea of non-quarrelsome. And this is that peaceable attitude put into practical action. Gentleness is that peaceable attitude put into practical action. In fact, the same Greek word that's used for gentle in James 3:17 is used in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 5. When the Bible says, let your moderation, let your measured living be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. And so with peaceable, we use the word peace bringing. In other words, everywhere I go, I tend to bring peace. Peacemaker. This word gentle, or the idea that godly wisdom is proper in its actions, we'll use the word it is moderate, or it is measured. It is measured. It is a measured response as opposed to an immediate reaction. And in a sense, it's very similar to the idea of meekness. We look at Titus chapter 3 and verse number 2, and we see this: to speak evil of no man to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing meekness unto all men. And we understand meekness is not weakness. Meekness is measured strength. We would consider maybe a broken horse to be meek. It is not vacated its strength, but it is strength under control. It is measured strength. And that broken horse can carry a small child appropriately and can carry a grown and seasoned rider appropriately. Why? Because there is a measure to its response. I give you this. Gentleness has the idea of again, that measured response. You think of a little kitten. And I think I have seen on several occasions somebody who maybe has lacked gentleness. And they were so excited by the cuteness of the kitten. It was like, good kitty, good kitty. And I was like, poor kitty, poor kitty. And what was the issue? The issue was that they did not know how to properly measure their response. And so godly wisdom, it is measured. It is moderate. It does not react. It responds. So gentleness, the gentleness of godly wisdom, it prohibits us from being jerks for Jesus, being carnally aggressive, being passive aggressive. That's the one that gets me. I'll confess to you what I did. It was bad. We were on our little trip this past week. I got frustrated. Anybody here ever get frustrated? No? I will give you this, and you can come teach the rest of this. But we went biking down a mountain. It was super cool. But we got a lesson, and we got bikes, and we were going. And I looked at my receipt. I just shouldn't have looked at my receipt. But I looked at my receipt, and I noticed that they had charged me $10 extra for each of the kids. Now, no big deal, right? But it was $10 extra for each of the kids. And so I asked the kind gentleman, I said, well, gentlemen, I said, your sign says X amount. My receipt says X amount. What has happened here? And the kind gentleman said, well, I don't know. You'll just have to find out tomorrow. That required patience. And an element of measured response on my part. And believe it or not, I did okay with that. I wasn't happy, but we'll take care of it tomorrow. Because the proper authority will be there tomorrow, and everything will be okay. It'll be okay. Right, Edgar? The front looks good on you, man. So we show up the next day, and of course, everybody else is getting all their pads on, getting fitted for their bikes. I'm carrying around my receipt. Because, like, it was $10 extra per kid. And I found the lady, and I said, well, you know, your sign says X amount. My receipt says X amount. She goes, oh, no, that's right. And I said, how do you figure, ma'am? Good ma'am. And she said, well, like a year ago, there was a shortage on kids' bikes, so we charge an extra $10 per kid. Okay. Maybe your sign should indicate that. Oh, no, the sign's right. All it says is you're getting the lesson for X amount. We're just charging the other for such and such. And I was boiling inside. I was boiling. We walked away, and I'm kind of pacing. And then somebody said something about horseback riding. And I said, I don't know. We didn't want to ask the surcharge on that because we didn't bring our own horse either. My wife looked at me like, stop it. Please, stop it. I was like, okay. I know. Because sometimes, right? Sometimes. That was not godly wisdom. Godly wisdom prohibits us from being jerks, jerks for Jesus, carnally aggressive, passive aggressive, silent treatment, yelling, all the nonsense. This is because godly wisdom, this is because gentleness is measured towards a stated goal. And what is the first goal of godly wisdom? It is that which is pure, it is that which is right, it is that which is holy. Before godly wisdom is concerned about results, godly wisdom is concerned about what is right. And this gentleness, this moderate, measured response helps us to weigh the mission versus the moment. It helps us to not win the battle, but lose the war. Gentleness. Godly wisdom is proper. And so we see godly wisdom, it is peaceable or peace. Bringing. We see godly wisdom is proper or it is moderate and measured in its response. As finally tonight, I want you to see not only is it peaceable, not only is it gentle, but it is easy to be entreated. We are going to call this godly wisdom is persuadable. Because easily entreated or easy to be entreated, it means obedient. It means compliant. It means leadable. Let me give you a word to go with it. It means humble. It has the idea of humility. Humility. As the Bible reminds us in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly, with the humble is wisdom. You see, godly wisdom is the opposite of arrogance. Godly wisdom is the opposite of stubbornness. Godly wisdom is the opposite of the presumption that we are all truth and that we have all truth. And it is the opposite of that spirit that plagues our world today. I'm going to tell you, we live in a society where the comment has killed conversation. We live in a society where people, all they want to do is stand up on their soapbox and feed red meat to their base. In other words, they just want to pander to those who think like they do. We live in an age where everyone wants to lecture, but no one wants to learn. Now, let me be clear. I am not talking about giving that which is evil equal consideration with that which is righteous. Because we are to be wise concerning that which is right, and we are to be simple concerning that which is evil. So I am not talking about giving equal consideration to that which is evil as that which is holy. But I am talking about the recognition that all truth doesn't reside in and end with you. And so godly wisdom is easy to be entreated. Godly wisdom is persuadable, is humble, is ready to learn, because godly wisdom genuinely wants to know what is right. And so godly wisdom causes us to listen, to learn, to be led by the right sources so that we can be what is right, so that we can do what is right. Because again, godly wisdom is first pure. And I must be willing to listen to make sure that I rightly understand if I am going to do righteously. So we see it is peaceable, meaning it is peace-bringing. Godly wisdom is not a human tornado that wreaks havoc everywhere it goes. Godly wisdom, we find, is gentle, meaning it is proper in its responses. It is measured. It is moderate. And godly wisdom is easy to be entreated, or it is persuadable. It is humble in its demeanor. You know, the more I learn of wisdom, the more I learn how little our world actually has godly wisdom. I'm sad to say, the more I learn of godly wisdom, the more I learn how much I lack godly wisdom. But here's the glorious truth. We saw it last week. Wisdom, where is wisdom? It is crying out from the heights. It is crying to those who are simple, begging those who are simple, begging those who are hungry to hear, to learn, to turn. And so if we recognize that we need wisdom, that our life isn't as peaceable as it ought to be, that our life isn't as gentle as it ought to be, that our life isn't as easily entreated as it ought to be, if we recognize our need of wisdom, the Bible says it's available to us. For those who will hear, for those who will heed, for those who will turn. Christians, we don't need better jobs primarily. No, we need more wisdom. I'm going to tell you, primarily, we don't need different families. We need godly wisdom. We don't need to win the lottery. We need godly wisdom to deal with what God has already given us. We need godly wisdom. And church, my prayer is as we study this, that the response of each of our hearts is simply going to be, I need wisdom, and I need wisdom more than I need what I want. Here's the good news. That if you and I get there, we set ourselves to seek godly wisdom. We submit ourselves to request godly wisdom. The reality is the only thing that stands between you and the godly wisdom is your willingness to set aside your ways for His wisdom.